All right, so tonight we are going to do something a little different than our typical Wednesday night, and I hope it will help you to be better equipped to study God's Word. February is like a neat month because it's like the one month a year that we don't have 30 or 31 days, right? We either have 28, which is like a perfect 4 weeks, or we have 29 days, which is really cool. My youth pastor growing up, his birthday was on leap day, and so we would celebrate like, hey, you're turning 8, and that was like our joke with him was, you know, that he was actually 32 years old, but it was only the 8th leap year. Well, tonight we are going to study something that will help you. If you want to create a habit, you have to approximately do it for 3 weeks consistently. Okay, if you want to start a good habit or if you want to stop a bad habit, you need to persist with it for 21 days. And so we have 21 days left in February. And so if one of your goals this year was, I want to read the Bible more, or I want to know Jesus better, or something along those lines, I want to encourage you to take the next 21 days of February and be specifically, intentionally pursuing that goal through the end of the month, because you can begin a habit and do it well if you will work on the same thing starting tomorrow every day for the rest of the month of February. So, what does that have to do with tonight? Well, I want to teach you guys a little bit about studying the Bible, and we are going to do that through a specific process called the seven arrows. How many of you guys were here last time we did seven arrows? A couple of you, awesome. Coming over here. So something went wrong with my study notes file this week, and every time I tried to print it off, it would not print. It like printed out a little error message. And I could print other things, and it was fine, and no matter what I did, it would not print my study notes. So I'm going to have them up here tonight. I know, right? We also, I told you guys last week we would have a little something for you. So every single one of you are going to get one of these bookmarks right here. They were specially made, not by me, but by someone who actually can do graphics well. They were made for you guys, okay? I asked for these to be made, and Pastor Izzy was like, those are so cool. We're actually going to like make our entire high school retreat around this. So if you had been in high school this year, you would have learned how to do this on the high school retreat. So I'm trying to show you guys, this is not just something middle school. This is high school. This is adult. And Aspire, the adult Bible study that we use for discipling adults, this is in there, okay? This is an incredible way to look at God's Word, to be able to study it well, and to be able to learn. And so everyone tonight is going to have the opportunity to get one of those on your way out. And then I have a few study resources I want to share with all of you tonight and give you an idea as we get into the second of the seven arrows. We'll look at that. So, here we go. Okay, so why do we care about what the Bible says? Because it's God's Word, okay? We believe that it's God's Word, right? That God inspired men to write this down, that it is accurate. There's a term called inerrant, okay? I-N-E-R-R-A-N-T, which means there's no flaws in what it says, okay? That it is accurate, it stands up to the test of time. Parts of this book have been around for like 4,000 years. You guys realize that? Like I'm reading in Job right now in the Old Testament. That book is estimated to be 4,000 years old. That's really old. So parts of this are super old, and then some other parts are just really old. But there's something amazing about God's word is that it's not just something that mattered a long time ago, and now we can kind of have one, put it on our shelf, doesn't really mean much. This is the one book in your life that will matter now, in 10 years, in 50 years, in 1,000 years. I'm serious. I mean, think about what your favorite book is. It may be like in the Maze Runner series, or it may be Lord of the Rings, or I don't know. What are some of y'all's favorite books that I didn't mention, maybe? Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Hunger Games, Divergent, that series. What about you girls? Favorite books? Do you have one? Okay. The Hardy Boys, there you go. Boxcar Children, right? Anybody read those? Goosebumps, all right. So here's the thing. All those books have been written in the last, like, 50 to 100 years. We have no idea if in another 100 years they'll really matter, right? If people will still be reading Goosebumps or Hardy Boys or whatever. Maybe they will. In 1,000 years? I kind of doubt it, right? Like, I kind of doubt that in 1,000 years they're going to go, look at this classic piece of literature, Divergent. I mean, there's nothing wrong with Divergent. I just don't think that in 1,000 years, that'll be the one that they're like, gotta apply this to our lives. This is important. This matters, you know, forever. God's word is, okay? And it's because it is special. It is written from God to us to reveal to us who he is. So we have to believe that actually is true, that it matters, that it's accurate. I mean, we've talked about these things over and over, and it's because if you discount whether this matters or not, then you can remove whether or not you need to study it, whether or not you need to change how you live to line up with what it says. Because if this doesn't matter, well then, why does it matter if I marry someone of the same sex? Why does it matter if I steal something because I wanted it really bad? Why does it matter if, and then we can fill in the blank with all kinds of things that we see God is against, but our sinful nature really desires sometimes. So we've got to understand that God's word holds truth in our life and that we need to study it. So then the question becomes, how do we study it? How do we actually read this? Because I don't know if you've ever gotten to a point where you're like, okay, I'm in Daniel 4. Oh my goodness, that guy's name has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 letters in this guy's name. What? Okay. No, not Daniel. Another guy. It's a really long spelling of Daniel. It looks more like Danielle. But, I mean, there's parts in here where if you're just strolling through the Bible, you just open it up to some random place that you go, how does this apply? The book of, how do you pronounce that? Haggai? Yeah. Okay, we studied that. But, I mean, how do you study the Bible? And what is the way you approach it? If you just look at it in some way where you're like, I'm going to flip it open to a random place, Deuteronomy 32:27. Had I not feared provocation by the enemy, lest their adversary... What on earth is this talking about? You know, I mean, that could be really confusing if you just go about studying God's word like that. But if instead you go to a passage, you understand the broader idea that is going on, and you know what is called hermeneutics. Everybody say hermeneutics. Hermeneutics, okay? Hermeneutics means the way that you study scripture, okay? Hermeneutics has a huge portion to play in how we get to the place we get versus how someone else can come to a different conclusion when reading the Bible. Because if you just read a random verse, for instance, everybody open up 1 Thessalonians 5, look at the end of the chapter, there's a really interesting verse there I want to point out to you, because you may not have seen it yet.
What's that?
Oh, maybe I misnumbered them. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5, look at this really interesting verse, 1 Thessalonians 5, 26. What does that say, somebody? 26. Read it out loud. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. So what we're going to do is we're going to set up a line. Everyone, and some of you guys are like, yes, I came on the right night. And some of y'all are like, no way. All right, I'm just kidding. Brothers, okay. So kiss your brothers, okay. I'm sure Holden will really appreciate that, Shelby. So if we just read scripture and we don't pay attention, okay, if we don't study it well, we get to the wrong place. If we just take and pick out something here and there, we don't understand what is going on in the passage, then what we end up doing is kissing each other when that's not what the Bible is pointing us toward, okay? The Bible's not telling us, hey, you need to literally kiss all your brothers, okay? He's talking spiritually, so yeah. No, so it really matters how we study God's word, because it helps us not to get to a point where we come to an error, where we misunderstand what God's word is saying. If we misunderstand what God's word is saying, for instance, if you misunderstand John chapter 1, you don't understand that the word it's talking about is Jesus. Jesus is God, and instead you come up with a religion like Mormonism, because it's a religion which believes in the Bible but does not correctly read it and does not understand that Jesus is God, part of the Trinity, that he is fully divine and fully man. Okay, they don't understand that. They don't accept that because there's a breakdown in the way they study scripture. So what can happen is if you go throughout your life just believing that all I have to do is just read God's word at some point in my day or something like that, oh, I read a random verse. So Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Well, unless you see signs and wonders, I didn't see signs and wonders, so I don't believe. No, okay, you have to actually study scripture. You actually have to have a way. And so when we talk about the seven arrows, this is a study help that will help you to do a good job of understanding God's word, okay? So tonight, what we are going to do in a minute or two is we are going to have the guys come over to this table, and the girls are going to come over to this table. We are going to use the seven arrows to study 1 Thessalonians 5 from verse 12 through the end of the chapter, verse 28. So this is a neat passage because there are a lot of what are called imperatives, okay? Anybody know what an imperative is? Somewhat. Nope. There you go. Okay, it's something you have to do. Okay? So if I said it's imperative that you wear clothes to lift, you have to do that. Okay? It's not optional. It is, it's like commanded, right? It is not something you can just pick and choose. No, it's commanded. I'm commanding. Okay. So, so many of the things in the end of this book are imperatives. So they are commands that Paul gives to us that we have to do. Now, remember, if we just say, well, we have to do what it says, and verse 26 says, greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. Okay? Right. So we have to study correctly. Okay? So let me remind you what the seven arrows are. We'll have one of these at each table. And what we will do is we will have at least one person working on each of the arrows. So it may be Ben and Wesley are working on the first arrow, which is, what does this passage say? Okay, so here's how it's going to work. If Ben and Wesley had the first arrow, what does this passage say? It's a red arrow, and so they're going to get a red marker. They are going to go through this whole passage looking for any place that there is something it is saying. Okay, just plain and simple, this is what it says. Now, this is not just copying exactly what it says. So you're trying to get, what is the idea? What is he saying here? If I was trying to summarize this verse, how would I summarize it? All right, like a headline for a news story or something like that. Okay, so that would be the first arrow. What does this passage say? The second arrow is maybe a little more difficult. But I have something I wanted to point out to you. The second arrow is, what does this passage mean to its original audience? So for instance, I'm going to look at verse 26, since that has been our verse tonight. Okay, verse 26 is talking about greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. Okay, so in the original audience, the Thessalonians, the people who were receiving this letter, these people would understand that to mean greet each other in a way that is friendly, kind, that expresses connection. This was a very familiar thing. We still see it in parts of the world where people greet each other by kissing on the cheeks, right? That they kiss each other kind of thing. Okay, this is not greedy. All the brothers with a makeout session. That's not what he's talking about, okay? That's not at all what he's talking about. So it makes a lot of difference when we need to look at what does this mean to the original audience? What would they understand this to mean? Now, there are some ways that we can study, and I've got some things for you guys I wanted to show you. This is a neat little booklet that I bought this last week. It came in. Costs $2.50, and it says, Know Your Bible, All 66 Books Explained and Applied. Now, this is a very small thing for us to summarize, but that's essentially what it's doing, is it's summarizing and helping us to look at how this book would be read originally. So you can open it up. This is the book of Jeremiah. Let me flip over to 1 Thessalonians. And they're like one page or so per book, which is really helpful. So it says, 1 Thessalonians. The author was Paul, along with Silvanus and Timothy. The date was the early 50s AD. So like 50, that was it. Not 1950, not 1850, just 50 AD. That's a long time ago, all right? In 10 words or less, so this is a good summary. Jesus will return to gather his followers to him. That's a good overview of the book. And then it's got details, it's got some quotes, it's got some unique and unusual things in here, and then says, so what? Which is an application from the book. So something like this is a really good study tool that you may want to ask your parents, hey, can you, Pastor Scott talked about this Know Your Bible book, and he said it may be a good study help. This is something good you can just keep. I mean, it's really short, you guys. Super helpful. Okay? Another thing that I ordered on christianbook.com, which is where I like to get a lot of cheap books and stuff. This is a little pamphlet that has a timeline of Genesis. So if you're going through Genesis and you want to see when did God create the world, and when was Abraham and Joseph, and where did they move from, this has a neat timeline. If you're visual in your learning, this is a great way for you to learn. If you don't like just reading a book, you're like, show me a picture, okay? This is the way to do it, right here. You can also look this kind of stuff up on Google, which is great, okay? Look up on Google a timeline of the book of Genesis or the book of 1 Thessalonians or whatever it is you're looking up. Those are great study helps for you as you are studying God's word. I've got several others here. This is one on 100 prophecies fulfilled by Jesus. So if I wanted to see what was the big deal about Jesus coming and him fulfilling prophecies, what? That's a neat one. This is one on the temple. So if you've heard Pastor Bill or Pastor Keith, or as you're reading, you hear about the temple, what did it look like? Why did it look that way? And also, there were different temples at different times. What? Okay, so when you're hearing Solomon talking about the temple, that's the first temple. When you hear Jesus talking about going into the temple in the Gospels, that is a different building at the same location. The first one had been torn down. There was another one. And now that one was torn down, and another one will be built one day in the future, which is really neat, okay? That's right, okay? According to our study last week, that is one of the things that will point to the coming of the Lord. Okay, this is another book that's really, really neat. It's Where to Find It in the Bible. You can use Google to help you do a similar thing, but this has got, if you're like, how do I learn to pray? Where does the Bible talk about praying? You would open it up to P, just like in a dictionary, and you would look up prayer. Okay, I'm at priority, which is really close. Prayer lists, prayer. There's pranks in here, guys. There's pranks in the Bible, what? Okay, so look that up. That's a neat study resource, okay? You have to equip yourself and help yourself to study in a good way. So that helps when we're looking at what does the passage say to the original audience? What does this passage tell us about God? This is the third arrow. So the third arrow is, what does this passage tell us about God? Okay, the Bible is essentially about God, right? Not about us. I'm not the main character. You're not the main character. God's the main character. And so as we read, we need to look at it and say, what is this revealing to us about who God is? And then the next one is neat. What does this passage tell us about man? And so it's not just saying men as opposed to women. It's saying mankind. What does this reveal to us about the way that we operate, the way that we think, the things we hope for and desire and need and our situation with sin? The Bible is going to teach us about that. And in some places like this, through imperatives, it teaches us we need to do this because otherwise we will do the opposite is what we tend toward, okay? So that's important. So the one side of the bookmark is just study, straight up study of what does this passage say, what did it mean to its original audience, what is the... What does it say about God, and what does it say about man? On the back side, there are three application questions. Okay, so remember, either person or a couple people will be working on one of these questions. The first of which is, what does this passage demand of me? Remember, the Bible's not just usually suggesting something for us to do, it's telling us something to do. That we need to act in a certain way. We need to pray. We need to give, whatever it is. It's not just saying, it's nice if you give, it's a good thing if you get around to praying. No, the Bible's like, pray, give, be kind. So the Bible speaks with authority because it is from God. What does this passage demand of me? The next to the last arrow is, how does this passage change the way I relate to people? So, and it's like a two-ended arrow, if you see that, because it's talking about both ways to each other, the people around us. How do we treat each other based on this passage? And then the final question is, how does this passage prompt me to pray? Think about your own life. Are you good at what the passage is saying? Does it come naturally to you? Or is it something that you need God to help you change and become more Christ-like in giving or praying or whatever the passage talks about? So for instance, in 1 Thessalonians 5:26, we could say, you know what? I'm not very good at greeting other people. I just tend to be toward myself. I'm more of an introverted person, so I don't have a very outgoing personality. And I need God to work in my heart to change kind of how I operate so that I don't wait on people just to come to me, but that I can greet them and be hospitable towards them. That's something I can pray for then. Okay? So that's one way we could look at that passage. We can look at all of these different things. It talks about encouraging the faint-hearted in verse 14. Well, maybe I'm not good at encouraging, and I need to ask God to help me become more encouraging. You guys see how that works? Where you look at it, see, is this something that I'm pretty good at? Is it not? Is this something I need to pray about? How can I pray about it? So that is the final arrow. This is an excellent resource to stick in your Bible. If you have one of our ESV study Bibles, it should fit in it. Check this out. Wabam. What? It's like the exact size. Incredible. Okay, totally on purpose. So we designed them. I told you, we designed these things for you guys so that they work in order to help you. Keep it in your Bible. So every time when you go to study, you've got it right there. You can keep up with where you're reading. You can remember the different things that you need to do. It's super, super, super helpful. I wish I had this in Bible, like college, because it would have been extremely helpful in some of my Bible study classes. So use this tool to help you. So let's split out into our different tables. Megan, were you setting up shop over there for the girls? Okay, so the girls over there, and guys, we're going to be over here.